Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast from the International Motorsports Association and Radio Show Limited.
It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
The checkered flag ends the race, but not the race talk. Have your say. Ask the experts. Make your point. Post-race tech. The end of the race is only the beginning.
Well, that was a race and a half, on top of that, as the strains of our intro fade out for the final Michelin PRT post-race tech of the season. Let's have your thoughts on what was an extraordinary race. What a season, what a race, and what a last few laps as well. Last corner of Motul Petit Le Mans, says Martin. Always a feast. Robert Mitchell trying to figure out now how I'm going to deal with endurance racing withdrawals. A bit mad with all the yellows in the middle, but the last 2 hours, an absolute bomb burner. Thank you, Carol. I think you're absolute there. And Arctic Cheers says, proud of Ricky Taylor for having a go, unlikely as it was to stick it. A great season and a great race. Johnny Morlam, I'll come to you first. You are absolutely pumped. You were jumping around like a kid in a candy store to the end there. This is what we have to deal with all the time. You just drive and you only see what's going on in your little area, you see. There's so much more going on.
Absolutely, and you have to keep yourself in check when you're driving, and when you're out of the car, you can allow yourself to get excited. But that was one of the best Petit Le Mans that I've certainly witnessed, and I think probably one of the best, including the ones that I was a part of. I thought that was phenomenal, and I agree, I think, with Ricky Taylor. Just, you had to send it. I mean, if only some Formula One drivers thought a bit more like that, it would be even better racing there as well. But he had to send it, and full marks to Felipe Nasr. He saw him coming, even with it just being bright lights in his mirrors, and squeezed him right over. Because actually, if he hadn't closed the door there, I think maybe Ricky Taylor might
have somehow getting it stopped.
Well, maybe not. But he got on the grass well before the braking. So if he could stay on the tarmac a little bit longer, he he probably wouldn't have done. But he had to try. And then I'm delighted for Mazda, Multimatic, and Oliver Jarvis, Jonathan Bomarito, and Harry Tinknell. Fantastic.
Second in the race, and just held on to that two corners from the end. Shea Adam is with our 2021 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car champions of the whole thing in DPI.
Hey, Pippo, it took a few years longer than we thought it would. But finally, a champion. They've just thrown him into a group of the mechanics. That's worthwhile. Pippo finally an IMSA mechanic. An IMSA champion. Took a bit longer than we thought it would when we first saw you blast onto the scene. But how good is it to get it done with this family?
You guys have absolutely no idea the ups and downs that I've gone through my career to get to this point and win the championship. It's just, I owe it to God, you know, because finishing the way we did last year with a mistake on my side, we could have won the championship had we won the race at Sebring. And starting this year, two difficult races, Daytona, and then, you know, a contact that I don't think it was my mistake, but a contact that, you know, started the year on such a low, but, you know, to come back and win the championship, that was because I believed in God so much. And I just want to say thank you to my whole team, Action Express, Willing Engineering, all the sponsors. And they believed in me, and now it's true, we're champions.
Is it extra special that you did it with your friend and fellow countryman?
It is, you know, we're here raising the flag. You know, such a team don't often put so much trust in drivers who are not from, I mean, they're Americans, you know, they could have chosen an American driver to be here, and yet it's me and Felipe, two Brazilians, so we're forever grateful for that opportunity. Man, I'm out of words.
Congrats, champ.
Thank you.
Oh, that's a very, very emotional people, Durrani. What do we think, gentlemen, of that overtake attempt? David Riley says, surely you can't move like that in the braking zone. Not keen on that move by Nasser at the end. Johnny, it's the last two corners, the last potential overtaking manoeuvre. There's a championship on the line. How close to the line was it by Felipe?
In my opinion, that's absolute rubbish. I mean, he's in the car. He can see him coming. He starts moving in. He's basically turning in early, covering the inside. Ricky Taylor,
he's come from a long way back.
Ricky Taylor came from about five car lengths back. And Ricky Taylor was never going to make that move. He had to try it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think if you went and spoke to Ricky Taylor, I don't think he'd have anything bad to say about that.
And he'd probably have done exactly the same thing. Jeremy, your thoughts on that?
The only thing about that incident for me is that Felipe Nasr nearly made that incident worse, because he did. He was definitely inching towards the inside, but then when he saw the number 10 car was committed, he moved more, and there was a bit of contact between the two of them, and that could have ended up a lot worse for Felipe Nasr, because as Johnny says, there was no way Ricky Taylor was going to make the corner. He was going to go into the gravel in any case. But Felipe nearly took him with him as well. But I think it was just fantastic racing. As Johnny says, Ricky had to give it a try. He knew he was going to try it, and the gap was there. He tried it. It didn't quite work off, but come out for him. But what a great end! What a great way to end the motor race, in my opinion.
And that was for the championship, second and third on the box for the overall in LMP2. A reversal. Tower Motorsport, the Starworks one car, Emma Bearpark will be absolutely delighted. 40 seconds added to PR1 Matheson Motorsport, so they finish 38 seconds behind. We'll talk about that in a moment. Ricky Taylor, as graciously, as disappointed as we know he will be, he's going to speak to us for this VP Racing Fuel Pit Report from Shea Adam. Shea?
Yeah, he is disappointed, but it's the move you got to make. You would have made it if it was the other way around, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
The dive?
Absolutely. It's the championship. I mean, first of all, I have to congratulate them. Pipo and Felipe did an amazing job all year. They always do a good job, and that team is just a very impressive team, and that's what makes winning these championships so satisfying, and what makes it so special is because you're racing against such great competitors, and so I have to congratulate them. And I don't think they're going to stop looking in their mirrors when we're back there now. But it's the championship, and I'm always going to go for it. And if anybody thinks I'm not going to go for it, you just have to look at the people that are behind us and how much work they do to give us the car that we have. And every time you go to visit the shop and see the boys and how hard they work, and then you go to HPD in California and you see literally hundreds of people that are all working towards this. And I'm just so thankful for everybody that gives us the car that we have and the opportunity to do what we love. To go win a championship, and I'm just really bummed, but happily we only have the shortest off season ever till Daytona, and the same crew is going to be back, and we're strong, so we'll be back. So yeah.
And hey, when you feel sad, you can always look at your wrist and look at that Rolex you got this year.
Yeah, I think we were asking each other, would you rather Indy 500, IndyCar Championship, Rolex 24, Le Mans, like we're going through that thing. And when it comes down to Rolex 24 championship, we want both. And when you're in that position, you're always gonna go for it. So yeah, we wanted it badly. We wanted two watches. The Tudor would be nice too.
Yes, Sean?
Can you ask Ricky, was he all right with that move by Felipe at the end? He's got no complaints about how that happened. He came from a long way back.
Yeah, so you were all right with the move by Felipe at the end. He came from a long way back, but had to try it, right?
He's fighting as hard as I am. No, they deserve it. I should have just gone full throttle earlier in the gravel. No, they're fighting. And I race hard, and I expect everybody to race me the same way I race them. And congratulations. So, yeah, I don't have any problem with them. And yeah, congrats, and we'll be back fighting next year, and hopefully we get them by a point next year.
Thanks, Ricky. Hope to see it.
Yeah, thanks. Well,
there you go. That answers all the questions. Those of you listening to Michelin PRT, yeah, the driver who made the move had no issue with what was going on. He felt he knew it was a bit of a low percentage lunge. You know, that's great. I love it. Very classy, as ever, by Ricky Taylor.
Yeah, very, very classy. A lot of dignity there, and really nice the way he dealt with that, and kind of nice that he agreed with us and he was sat in the seat. So, like I said, I think if you asked him, he wouldn't have a problem with it, and he didn't. And it was just fantastic racing, and he would have expected that door to get closer and closer. Jeremy has a good point, because if there'd been any more contact, they might have both ended up backwards in the gravel, and then that would have been worse for the 31. But I think that was fantastic way, like Jeremy said, to end a motor race.
A couple of great storylines. Obviously, Jeremy at the front of the field. They come back from three laps down to win it in the last race for that Mazda program and for Multimatic. Another big race win for Lena Gade engineering and strategizing at that one. LMP2, the turnaround at the end. Riley win LMP3. And in GTD, Hartner Racing capping off a brilliant couple of years for the Aston Martin team, with the first win at Petit Le Mans since, I think, 2006, with the DBR9s since the last time that Aston and stood on the top step of the podium there. There are some great storylines here for the PR guys to be writing over the next few hours.
Well, they certainly are, and they're going to be busy, because every team in this field pretty much has a story to tell, and most of them, yeah, there's good news, good news stories, there's bad news stories, but overall that was just a fantastic motor race. Yeah, too many yellows for sure, but when the racing was on, it was sensational.
So go down to Shea Adam, who's with, I think she's with Gar Robinson, winner in LMP3. Is that correct, Shea?
Yeah, and Gar just reminded me, I was here for his first Trans Am Championship, and now here for the first IMSA Championship. But Gar, what a season. The endurance races, you guys are always there, but the wins, that's got to feel pretty good.
I mean, it's really incredible. I mean, when We got the notice that the 54 was retiring from the race, and they did a heck of a job all year. I really want to give credit to them as a great competitor this year. They raced us all with great respect, and I have huge respect for them, and I really hope to see them next year. But right after we got that message, it was, we have to race for the win for the race, because, one, I've never won at Road Atlanta before. I've come real close, but never won it here. It's just incredible. I mean, this team. I mean, obviously, I've grown up as a little kid. I think my first race car that I ever knew was a Riley and Scott, and so I mean, it's. I know. I've known since I was a little kid that Bill Riley and all of his team they run a great prototype program, and they ran a great AMG or a GTD program last year too. But it's just that is such a blessing to work with these guys. They put me with some of the best teammates that we can find, Scott Andrews and Felipe Fraga and Spencer Pigott and Oliver Askew. They all did a great job with me this year, and I'm so thankful that happy to call them all friends and great teammates. But it's. The nice thing about P3 is you really get to have the team racing experience. Like, you don't have to play any BOP games or anything like that. At the end of the day, the best team shows up and the best team does the best job. So these guys are just the best. I love working with them. I owe everything to this year for them. And I'm happy to be here, and I really hope we can do it again next year.
Well, congrats on your first two IMSA championships.
Thank you.
Oh, brilliant stuff to hear from the winners. I don't even know where we would start. We could spend as much time talking about that as the race itself, to be honest. Jeremy, a little bit slow in the middle, a few too many safety car interventions. It looked like people had forgotten how to race and to keep the cars on the road for a while. But ultimately, that last couple of hours when we went back to Green Flag and had that over 2 hours run at the end. That showed why we love endurance racing and particularly multi-class endurance racing as well so much. Great racing from LMP3. Let's hope we get as many as we did before. I didn't think that they caused too many problems, Jeremy, and your faith in that class, I think, has been repaired there. Jeremy.
Yes, again, you know, you're right. There's quite a few of those cars fell by the wayside for various reasons. But it's the
strange
usual
electrical problems. That was the thing. Yeah, that was an odd one. That's something that needs to be looked at, clearly.
Well, it does, yes. No question about it. But hats off to the Junior 3 racing team, number 30 car, to come home in second place. They'd been lapped by the overall race leader. They weren't a full lap down on number 74 at the end. So a really good debut for that number 30 team in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. So hats off to all of them. And the second Riley car. I mean, the Riley cars, they leave no stone unturned, do they? So they came home with a first and third. And hats off also to Fast MD Racing. They came home with a fourth place finish in that number 40 car. That's a pretty remarkable effort.
Shay, Adam, before we stand you down, and by the way, thank you very much indeed to our friends at 4G again for providing us with the equipment to be able to talk to you over there in pit lane. I know you that the podium's about to start. Some thoughts from you from the atmosphere in the pit lane. It was a packed 43 car field. What will you take away from MotoGP Le Mans 2021?
It was chaos out there, and it was wonderful to be back. Just a lot of happiness out there. Before the race, a lot of tension for sure. During the race, a lot of tension, and people who were upset, people who were keeping their poker faces. I forgot how good some of these teams have at their poker faces. I actually went most of the race not daring to look at Steve Bortolotti on the Pfaff Motorsport box because I really didn't want to curse Team Canada or jinx them or do any sort of bad thing. It was just one of those days I'll remember for a long time, mostly because everyone was so welcoming and warming and the racing was so good.
And Shay, the end of quite a few eras. Pat Long, we spoke to, he bows out in style with the championship. The GT Le Mans category, which was won originally in 2014 at the Rolex by Porsche. And we had the two WeatherTech cars first and second, and that's the last we'll see of those. That was great. Not so good for Corvette. They didn't have the finish to their GT Le Mans program that they would have liked, and Nick Tandy and his teammates not happy at all at how they went out of the race.
No, for sure, and you're right to bring up GTLM because it's been the category for so long. I think it's 83 races total. I know exactly where to find it on which spreadsheet on my computer. But the fact of the matter is Corvette Racing won more races than any other manufacturer who participated in GTLM. They are not the only manufacturer to participate in every race, but they are the one to take home the most victories, with more than a quarter of the races contested going the way of the bow tie. So the last race did not go very well, and that is something that they'll remember, but they'll also remember all the trophies and championships. And remember, they got another one of those today. So it has been a very good run for the GTLM class, and I will miss them, and I will miss Patrick Long very much. He is one of the people that I've always cheered for, and that's another thing I'll remember from this weekend, John, how many people I made cry, because I got Patrick, I got Zach, I got Felipe Nasr. I'm kind of on a roll. I got Pipo. I've made a lot of tears fall this weekend, and I'm not normally that kind of a person.
Thank God we didn't send Nick Damon as well, otherwise we would have we would have had to have the safety car out for wet in the pit lane, to be honest. Shay, thank you very much for all your hard work as the VP Racing Fuel pit reporter for this one. Go and take the backpack back, stand yourself down, get a good night's sleep. Thanks, Shay. We'll talk to you on Wednesday on Midweek Motorsport.
Thank you, everyone, and thank you, everyone, who made it possible for me to be talking to you from the pit lane again. This was awesome.
Yeah, we loved having you back here. Thank you. Let's wrap up then Michelin Post Race Tech with Johnny and Jeremy. I think we've said quite a lot there. Great results for all the winners. Got to give a little bit of kudos to Paul Miller Racing as well, Johnny. They were out early on, but they were out of the championship run really on. They ended, what, 12 laps off the lead, but they kept on going, more in hope than in expectation. But proof at the front of the field that if you keep plugging on, sometimes it does come to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long race, and you saw in every class, cars looking down and out after an hour, managing to come back. The right Porsche looked down and out, and they came back really well. Mm. You know, and then you heard Brian Sellers being interviewed early on in the race. It didn't quite go his way, but again, they've had a lot of success in this championship.
Hard to pick a driver of the race, Jeremy. Tinknell, Nasser, both would be strong candidates from that. Ross Gunn did a marathon stint at the end for the 23 Aston Martin. A lot of good stories at this. As I say, it's the end of an era for a lot of things, but we're looking forward already to 2022. And Earl Bamber would get a vote from me, gentlemen, because stepping in as he did to sub for Kevin Magnussen, let's hope he is feeling a lot better. But Earl Bamber, in with the rest of his Chip Ganassi team for next year, you've got to say they look very strong already for next year's championship, Jeremy.
Yeah, true. And they're going to be really, really hard to beat, because that was a tremendous performance by Earl Bamber there to step in at such short notice and run super competitive times instantly. The team was unlucky towards the end of the race. Yeah, they didn't come away with the result they deserve, but I think they will appreciate the fact that Earl Bamber has now got a full 10 hours of Petit Le Mans under his belt with that team, and that'll give them some really good momentum going into the 2022 season.
A good result for WeatherTech as well. They swap round at the end. Cooper McNeil gets the W. I kind of don't have any problem with that. Those two cars were fighting. They double-teamed Tandy early on. That was sensible the way they swapped them over. And that is the full-season car with the full-season drivers. They get the win in the big end-of-season race. Don't have a problem with that, Jeremy?
Not at all, no, absolutely not, because the Porsches were strong all the way through the race. Either of them could have won, and no, it makes a lot of sense to me. There's no championship championship ramifications there, so yeah, why not?
Johnny Moore,
that whole team.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeremy, thank you very much for all your hard work this season. It's been another cracker. Johnny, last word to you as our guest in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Enjoyed it?
Oh, absolutely blew me away. Fantastic race. If I was going to go driver of the day, I'd probably actually, credit where it's due, give it to Harry Tinknell, because he was the only one that I didn't see at any point, and I'm probably going to be proven wrong by somebody, going off the track. And we saw a few little offs with Felipe and people like that, but really Harry just drove faultlessly, and that pass for the lead, what was effectively the lead, was awesome. But I just thought that was a real advert for sports car racing at its very best in every class.
I saw you nodding, by the way, when I mentioned LMP3. There's a lot of people who have questions about LMP3 and whether it deserves to be in this status of championship. I think they're thinking back to LMPC and some of the problems that those cars caused. This is a different kettle of fish. 10 cars out there today. We had some reliability issues, bizarrely, after we talked about that, but
only a couple,
they were good.
Though. Only a couple, and I don't think it's the LMP3 that's the problem. I think they just need to make absolutely certain when they're looking at any of the amateur classes that they're very careful in terms of the amateur drivers coming in and make sure that they're perfectly capable of dealing with what they have to deal with on track. The car itself is absolutely capable of running in this kind of company with no problems at all.
And when you see that, think with your Red River Sport hat on, if you had a client who wanted to go racing in America and do some of the big races,
it's perfect.
LMP3 at Daytona, LMP3 here, LMP3 yep. Sebring.
LMP3 maybe, even just go and do the Challenge Cup at Watkins Glen. You've got the opportunity, the same way with a GT3 car, you can go and race them anywhere. LMP3 now is fast becoming a vehicle where you can go racing anywhere, and they're very, very good value.
Johnny, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre.
Thank you very much for having me.
Next weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the 24 Hours of Sebring. IMSA involvement there. They've helped put it together with Creventic. It's been a cracking season. We'll mull that one over. We'll talk about it on Midweek Motorsport, and there will be a season review programme as well coming up on IMSA Radio. Keep your eye on imsaradio.com for all of the archive, and start the countdown clock now. It's 76 days to the green flag of the Rolex 24 Hours of Daytona 2022. Hope you'll want to join us for the Raw before that and for that race on IMSA Radio. I'm John Hindhoff for the whole team from the whole year, particularly our technical support on site and up in London. Bye-bye for now.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.